F98-0903, The Scourging Post. Base not your value, your worth, nor your productiveness in the kingdom on those things which we shall discuss this day, says the Spirit of Grace. For the Lord your God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have been very diligent to walk in the light that you have had to this point, and with that diligence the Lord is pleased. You are simply changing realms of operation now. You are stepping above the realm of the work of man to the realm of the work of God. This is a time of correction and a time of reordering the steps that have led somewhat astray from His perfect will for your life. Receive this as a son entering maturity now, who can forsake the childish things of the past and begin to walk as a son of maturity in the true work of God, which is by the Spirit and by the Spirit only. You have used the talents, the equipment, the associations, and the knowledge which the Lord has given you to minister to the sheep at a level where you have felt comfortable and safe. You should know that comfort and safety are not normally hallmarks of those who choose to walk in the perfect will of the Lamb. You have used the tape ministry somewhat as a veil in order to deliver the truth into the homes of many people, while at the same time keeping secret your failings and weaknesses in the flesh. To walk in this low level of His acceptable will for your life, you have used the tape ministry as a cloak of anonymity to hide those things which you know would destroy the confidence of many if they knew. You should know and take some comfort in the knowledge that many use the pulpit ministry in the same manner. For they are certainly different persons at home in their house than the person they show as they stand in the pulpit. They cloak their failings behind the veil of ministry, and seldom, if ever, are the sheep given any glimpses behind the veil into their personal lives. The Father is aware of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is aware of this. It is according to the acceptable walk. However, it will never suffice to bring forth the perfect will of God in any true minister who desires to walk on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I have given you ample warning and prepared your heart to understand that the instructions that come from the mind of Christ do not come in the manner which you have supposed. His instructions always come in such a manner that they loose the Spirit of the living God to manifest the will of the Father in the earth. I have also instructed you that I am the Spirit of truth. I only bring truth from His mind to yours. If the truth is rejected, I have nothing else to bring. Those that reject my truth, I bring it again, and I bring it again, and I bring it again. But if they continue to reject the truth, then they eventually become blind and deaf to the things revealed by the Spirit of truth. By their own will they blind themselves, and they become deaf to my voice. Then I can reveal the truth to them no longer. Be not as one of those. The first instruction you received from His mind was to put first priority on becoming continually aware of my presence with you. Your diligence in this matter has been measured far below your diligence in the administration of the ministry. This must change. Put first place and give the most earnest heed to those things that I bring you from the mind of Christ. For these are the things involved in your transformation to walk on the path of the works of God being manifested in the earth. I will help you with this as a measure for your mind. Measure out your day. On purpose, schedule time to put first place becoming aware of my presence with you. Measure the day and measure the time that you give to this first instruction from the mind of Christ. I say unto you again, there is nothing more important in your life than this complete and total awareness that the Spirit of the living God is with you. That is the next obstacle that must fall on the path to arriving at the next clearing. I say again unto you, put that first and you release me to manifest all of the natural things that you need. At this moment, that first instruction is for you, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Other things are allowed for you to do, but you must put that first in order to remain on the path of His perfect will for your life, says the Spirit of Grace. Today you are to receive the second instruction from the mind of Christ, which will release the power of the Spirit to manifest the will of the Father in your life. You have already rejected this instruction twice, and even a third time this day, as I have attempted to paint the vision of the scourging post in your spirit. Say not with your mouth that you know not what it is, for you do know what it is. It is the scourging post where Christ was lashed, where the whip was laid across His back, and where the blood flowed as He was scourged and His flesh was laid bare. Now, see the scourging post again, as I paint it once more in your spirit. Reject it not, says the Spirit of the Lord. You see how it is only belt high, and that a man must kneel to be attached to it. You see the shackles of chains that are attached and hang from the post. Yet notice that the shackles are unlocked and are empty. In the natural realm, men are shackled against their will to the scourging post, to have the law of man imposed upon them. It is not so in the kingdom of God, nor in the realm of the Spirit. I, nor the Lord Jesus Christ, nor your Father, will force you against your will to shackle yourself to this post. In the kingdom of God, for those who would walk on the high path of the call of God in Christ Jesus, each man must choose to embrace the post of scourging, of his own free will. Jesus could have called for 12 legions of angels to free him from the scourging post, but he chose to remain there. It is time for you to embrace the scourging post, where the things of the flesh, which have hindered your walk greatly, shall be removed forever. And I say again, forever, by the lash of the Spirit. You are not forced to embrace the scourging post, except if your hunger and your desire for the perfect will of God is sufficient to cause you to bow the knee and to embrace the post. The Spirit does not force you, the Son does not force you, the Father does not force you. Your own desire and hunger shall force you, if you desire the high path to which the Father has called you. If you run from the scourging post this day, know that I shall go with you, and I will continue to work with you in the acceptable will of God which you have chosen. But know this, your hunger will increase, and the day will come when you will once again face the scourging post. If you run again on that day, then know that I shall go with you, and I will continue to work with you in the acceptable will of God which you choose each time that you run from the scourging post. But understand again that the hunger will build within you, be it today, be it next month, be it next year. Understand the day will come when your own hunger for the high call of God in Christ Jesus will force you to embrace the scourging post. You may choose to do so this day, for your hunger is great, says the Lord. Christ is wanting you to know that He forces no man to the scourging post, but His love draws all men there who choose the Lamb as their first love. You have asked for the Lamb's perfect will for your life. The perfect will of God is represented by the words of Christ when He said, "Take up your cross and follow Me." You have asked to know what your cross is that you may bear it. Understand that on the path to that cross, you first come to the scourging post. The scourging post is where all those things of the flesh must die before you shall be able to take up your cross. The scourging post is where man's aspirations die. The scourging post is where weakness of the flesh is purged. The scourging post is where your will dies completely and His will becomes yours. The scourging post is where what is known as man must bow the knee so those things of the flesh may be exposed by the lash of the Spirit to be purged by the blood of the Lamb. There is no avoiding the scourging post for those who would truly take up the cross assigned to them by the Lamb. I bring you the mind of Christ. The Son this day is asking you, not commanding you, will you of your own free choice embrace the scourging post? The Son asks you to look once more at the scourging post within your spirit. Do you see the stain of blood that remains on the post from when He knelt there? Know and understand that as your flesh embraces the scourging post, the power in His blood is there already to cleanse you and purge you from all that is not the will of the Father. His blood has preceded you. His blood is waiting for you, and the power in His blood shall transform you. Again, I remind you, when you emerge from the Lamb's room of fellowship, you shall be a changed man. You shall be a new man. Well, how do I embrace the scourging post? How do I do it, Lord, is the question that I hear from your Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. You have asked the right question. I now bring you the second instruction from the mind of Christ. Beginning this day, you are to incorporate longer and longer periods of fasting into your life. That time has come. No veil of anonymity can be permitted on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus for your life. To walk in the Father's perfect will for you, my son, total exposure to the people shall be required. What they see in ministry must be what you are at home. At that level of power, no hypocrisy is permissible. The same power that will heal them will destroy you. Has not history proven this fact through the many servants who attained to the walk of power, yet cloaked their flesh behind a veil of hypocrisy? The enemy cannot be restrained when such is the case, and his arsenal of destruction is fully launched against all unpurged flesh. It must needs be that you come first to the scourging post before you arrive at your cross. I am speaking of His high call for you to walk in manifested glory as the Lamb Himself has previously spoken unto you. To walk in that realm requires the transformation to love. I am not speaking of walking in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, for both you and Sue are now able to walk at that level. Your mind cannot yet understand this, but it can receive this as being truth. As long as the gifts are being operated as the Spirit wills, a buffer is created around you because of lack of responsibility on your part. My children are protected when they operate in the gifts as the Spirit wills, for there is a buffer of safety placed around them due to their lack of responsibility for initiation of these actions. You will understand this more as you mature. Obedience without question to my voice in this day, when it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, does not expose you to an increased level of warfare from the enemy. I permit no such launch of his arsenal against you, for you are walking as a child, merely following instruction, not as a mature son who initiates warfare at the direction of Christ. For the son of full stature, safety is only afforded when Satan has nothing in you. The scourging post is on the path for you, if you desire to ever walk in his manifested glory. Manifested glory is the cross which the Father has assigned to you. Embrace the scourging post. The sooner you embrace the scourging post, the sooner the power of the Spirit is released to transform you more into the image of Him who beget you. I hear you asking me how. How should I incorporate fasting into my life in a manner that shall be safe to my physical man? The Spirit of the Lord says unto you as a general pattern, one day on, one day off, 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off, and so forth, until you acquire deeper and deeper levels of purging of the desires of the flesh. This is not a law unto you, but is given as a general pattern. Make allowances for holidays, for meetings, and for special activities, for it is not the Father's desire to remove you from all fellowship with man. Follow this as a general pattern for establishing deeper and deeper levels of the scourging of the flesh, to bring mortification that can receive the mind of Christ. Remember, His blood is at this post. Call on the power of it to sustain you, and it surely will, says the Lord of hosts. As your counselor, I advise you to make a fasting schedule 1 month, and sometimes even 2 months in advance, that you fail not to make direct progress on this instruction from the mind of Christ. Each time you come off the fast, be sure to incorporate those things which I have instructed you that will reset your metabolism rate. You will avoid the consequences that befall most. Your health shall improve speedily as you do these things, says the Lord. I hear you saying, this does not sound like an easy yoke nor a light burden. This is only because you have not yet known the degree of hindrance that your flesh has imposed on the life of Christ within you. This instruction from the mind of Christ shall remove hindrances that will allow His life in you to grow exceedingly, where more of the burdens of your life can be borne by the Spirit rather than upon your own shoulders, says the Spirit of grace. It is hard to choose new wine and forsake the old, when all you have ever tasted is the old. At this point you must trust me that the new wine is better, for it truly is. You will look back and say, truly that was an easy yoke and that was a light burden, for it allowed the Spirit of the living God to lift the weight of decades from off my shoulders. My health did spring forth speedily, and my light did break forth as the morning. Righteousness went before me and led me in the way of the Lord. Truly this was an easy yoke and a light burden from the Lord. F98-0904, Handling the Carnal Things. Has not the Lamb spoken to you Himself, saying, handle the carnal things quickly, for these are not the things involved in your transformation? You have been given intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, talents, and abilities to handle the carnal things. It is not necessary for you to wait to hear the voice of the Spirit regarding such things as when to change the oil in your vehicles, when to bathe, or when to wash your clothes. He has given you intelligence and knowledge for matters such as these. It is true that as your mind becomes more in tune with the mind of the Spirit, who created all material things by the power resident within myself, that your intelligence will increase as well as your spiritual understanding. Were you to take what the world calls an IQ test today, and then take one a year from now, you would find that your intelligence has increased, even as your spiritual understanding has increased, says the Lord. The Spirit who made all material things understands and comprehends the nature of all material things. As you understand my mind, you will more and more understand how to handle the carnal things. This does not contradict my counsel to you when I said that you would learn to seek my counsel even in the most minute detail. For is that not what you are doing now? I am giving you my counsel regarding the carnal things. I do have much wisdom and specific instructions to give you regarding administration and many other such matters. But these will come line upon line and precept upon precept as they are needed and as your mind is developed to think according to the Spirit and not after man's ways, says the Spirit of grace. In addition, your heart must become more fully developed to trust the Spirit of the living God in order to obey without question instruction that would seem bizarre to man's wisdom. The Son wants you to know that the time you spent today in fellowship with me and to make yourself more aware of my presence in a more complete way is the most life-changing time you have sown to the Spirit this year. Although it is not apparent to your mind at this point, it will be apparent to your eyes in the very near future as you see the ministry He has called you to change from being the works of man to being the works of God, which can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. Well done, son. Well done. The Son wants you to know He is pleased. Gary's Notes to Mark the Trail. Dear listener, since the Spirit said that what I did today was well pleasing to the Son, I want to pass on to you exactly what I did that was different from the past. I took a segment of time and did nothing else during that time but communicate with the Spirit in English, saying things that agree with what He taught me concerning the mindset of Jesus in F98-0902, The Works of the Father. I still did all the normal things during my prayer time, including worship, praying in the Spirit, confession, and simply listening at the ear of my Spirit for His voice. But all these I have done in the past. Therefore, He must be referring to the segment of time where I spoke according to the mindset of Jesus. I wrote no formal confession or anything. I simply read F980902 over and over until I was able to speak according to the mindset revealed in it. I also incorporated many things from the previous lessons, such as what he taught me concerning the gifts of the Spirit. To be very specific, during that time, about an hour, I said such things as this: Holy Spirit, I know that you are with me. You and I have been sent in the name of Jesus to restore the Father's will in the earth. We are co-laborers together in this matter. There is no division between us. I am the vessel of authority whom Jesus has sent. You are the agent of power to manifest the Father's will in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ has imparted His life unto my spirit when I was born again. You are with me to anoint that life with the dominion of the Father. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Without you, I will never have His mind. But I have His life within me, and you anoint that life with dominion. You and I are co-laboring together to restore the Father's will in the earth. Jesus has sent me into the Father's garden to be a vessel through whom the Father can work to restore the garden to His original intent and purpose. The Father works by the power of His own Spirit. I know that you are with me to manifest the Father's will. An enemy has done great harm to the Father's garden. I have been authorized by Jesus to drive out the enemy wherever I find him. When I find the enemy, I cast him out with my words, and you, Holy Spirit, drive him out with your power. I see how we are co-laboring together now. There is no possibility that you will not move to perform the Father's will. You keep me in constant communication with the mind of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You bring me the knowledge of His will in every circumstance. I revel in the light of your counsel. I am not walking in the dark. There is no occasion of stumbling as I follow your leadership. I trust you completely. With great confidence, I obey without question every instruction you bring me from the mind of Christ. I have no need to fear, for you are with me. You have come bearing many gifts to manifest to me whenever I need them. Since you are with me continually, I am always expecting you to manifest the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to me. By you, I have access to supernatural wisdom regarding the future and supernatural knowledge regarding the present from the Lamb's perspective on the throne. I am constantly in a state of expecting these gifts. You bring me supernatural faith from Christ Himself. There is no such thing as lack of faith with me. Even if I were to come to the end of my faith, you bring me His faith. I have sufficient faith for any circumstance. Nothing is impossible for me, because you are ever with me. I and my Father are one, because the life of Christ is in me. My Father manifests healing through the gifts of healing that you have brought. The same virtue that flowed from Jesus into the woman with the issue of blood flows from His life within me when I minister by the gifts of healing. You show me what to do, what to say, and I obey you without question. This produces the works of the Father every time, without fail. All receive from Christ what they came for, as you manifest your power to restore all things to the Father's will, as I co-labor with you in His garden. I consider my God large. Nothing is impossible to my Father. The working of miracles is no more difficult for Him than it is for me to draw my next breath. The Father performs creative miracles through the life of Christ in me by your power that is resident within yourself. I have faith for the working of miracles because you have shown me they are free gifts. They are the will of my Father. I obey without question the leadership you provide by vision, by revelation, and by voice. Creative miracles occur every time without fail. I expect them to flow through me all the time because you are with me. You and I co-labor together in the name of Jesus in order that the Father may work creative miracles through the life of Christ within me. I expect to operate in the gift of prophecy at all times. You not only bring to my remembrance all things which Christ has already taught me, you bring me his present hour speaking, which I deliver to assemblies, congregations, and individuals at your direction. You open my eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit. I can see angels, demons, troop movements, and embattlements. You show me these things ahead of time, before the enemy's forces can even be assembled against me. I always know what to do ahead of time. You also show me the motivations of men's hearts, that I be not deceived by them. This is given that I may help them and not harm them. I keep secret what you show me, unless you specifically tell me to speak. You manifest all four diversities of tongues in my life as free gifts. I expect the gift of tongues for edification, tongues to be interpreted, deep intercessional groanings, and tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. All of these are available to me. I want you to know that I am expecting the manifestation of all four because I know you are with me. Although you said it would be seldom, I want you to know that I am available to deliver the interpretation of a tongue any time you want me to do so. I am expecting your nudge, your gentle leading to interpret a tongue, and I am aware that you are with me. Gary's notes again. No doubt I also spoke other things that he has taught me during this season of face-to-face fellowship, but I trust this is sufficient to give you an idea of what I did today. The Spirit said that the Son was well pleased. I intend to do this much, and I encourage you to do the same. F980908, Overcomers in This Age. For there was nothing in the nature of Christ that needed purging through suffering in the flesh. He did not choose to remain at the scourging post for that purpose. Satan had nothing in him, says the Spirit of Grace. He remained at the scourging post because it was the will of his Father that his body be broken for the healing of the divisions and strife of men. In substitution, he bore their brokenness in his own body at the scourging post, that through the blood shed there all men could be healed and made one again by the Spirit of the living God, as the very life of God is recreated in them. I say again, it was not to be purged that he remained at the scourging post. No, it was his nature and his character in full manifestation, to the degree that he remained to suffer in the flesh because it was the will of the Father. It was a portion of the Father's plan for his life. His nature and his character were such that suffering in the flesh could not deter him from obeying the will of the Father. That life, that nature, that character in him caused him to be obedient, even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Know and understand that the purpose of you embracing the scourging post is twofold. Of secondary importance is the purging of all those things which you would call, quote, sins of the flesh. Of primary importance is the development of the nature and character of Christ within you, that his life come forward to full harvest, that you be willing to suffer in the flesh if needs be, that the will of the Father be accomplished in the earth. By reason of use, by practice, by experience, the nature and character of Christ is brought forward in stages to become progressively more powerful to overcome all that is not of the will of the Father in your life. Hear the wisdom of God. Quote, Proverbs 20, verse 30, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. End quote. In Solomon's day, the blueness of wounds and the stripes for penalty were intended to teach, through the flesh, that the way of the transgressor is hard. Penalty suffered in the flesh restrained their flesh, that they learn not to transgress from the word of commandment. In your age, the intention and purpose of the Father is to bring forth the nature and the character of Christ, which has been sown as a seed in your heart, unto full harvest. His life is to come to overcoming stature within you, to put down all rebellion which remains in the body received from Adam. Remember that I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of Grace. The Father has given you the positional truth of the death of the body of Adam. He has given you the positional truth of the life of Christ within you. As you draw upon that life to overcome the flesh, understand you are not alone. I have come to bring forth His life in you, that you be transformed from glory to glory into that same image, that you have the same heart, the same mind, and the same will of Him who preceded you, to obey the Father regardless of suffering in the flesh. I have come to help you by bringing forth that nature within you. All things are possible to that life. It is His life within you that I baptize with dominion, to put down all rebellion received from him who transgressed. Those who serve other gods, and those who serve themselves, only strengthen the fallen nature within them through discipline of the body. Through strong discipline, by the will and energy of fallen man, they strengthen the rebellion of fallen man. Many such have become mighty tyrants upon the earth, and have inflicted much harm, much suffering, and much death upon men. Of such was Saul of Tarsus, before he met the Lord, whose strong will and harsh discipline of the body brought forth the nature of him who destroys. He persecuted the church of God and destroyed it. It is not so among those who have received the life of Christ within them. As they draw upon that life and turn to me to bring forward that life within them, I enforce the life of the righteous one within their spirit and cause it to come forward to full harvest, that they become overcomers in this age. This is the primary purpose, son, that the instruction has come from the mind of Christ for you to embrace the scourging post. It is the nature of Christ and the character of Christ that I am bringing forward in you, that your heart be knit together with him, that your will and your mind become one with the living Christ. That will is, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. The nature of Christ within you desires the Father's will be done upon the earth, even if it means suffering in the flesh, even if it means obedience to the death of the cross. That is the nature, that is the character that I am bringing forward in you. Think you that the Son felt not the pain of every stripe? Think you that the ache of agony coursed not through his body with every lash? Think you that he suffered not the pain of penalty for every man's transgression as his flesh was ripped open by the stripes of judgment? His nature and his character kept him at the scourging post until the will of the Father had been fully accomplished, though it meant great suffering for him in the flesh. With the agony of every stripe, his heart cried out, Father, thy will be done. Again, that is the nature and the character I am bringing forward in you. Progressive fasting is acting upon the positional truth given you by the Father. I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of grace. It is true that I can, and often do, deliver without suffering instantly many people from all that you would call addiction. It is a small thing for me to cleanse the blood, the organs, and the emotions of all that man would call addiction. And you should know that I will do this for you if you continue to petition the Father in this manner. But understand that the manifestation for you by that method would be according to his permissive will, and not according to his perfect will. For his plans for you, my son, are to send you into hard places, to rescue his sheep where suffering in the flesh shall be required, to choose the method of instant deliverance where no transformation is required, is to choose the path where no transformation is accomplished. On that path there is no transformation to the nature and character of Christ. Again I say, his nature and his character desires the will of the Father be accomplished, even if it means suffering in the flesh, even if it means obedience unto death. To walk in the Father's perfect will in the days to come for you, my son, that nature and that character must come to full harvest, that you be more desirous of the Father's will than any suffering in the flesh you must endure. That is His perfect will, my son, for your life. His mercy and His compassion will grant you deliverance without suffering if you choose that path. But that path would always keep you below His perfect will for your life. Your heart would continue to hunger and thirst on that path, for your heart cry is to know Him. Your heart cry is to walk as Him. Your heart cry is, Father, Thy will be done through my life. Allow me to bring forth the nature and character of the Son in you, who learned obedience through the things He suffered, who learned obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. I will help you in this, says the Spirit of grace, progressively by stages, as you embrace the scourging post, according to the mind of Christ which I have brought unto you. An overcomer must love not his life unto death. To embrace the scourging post is to embrace the pain of the scourging post. To embrace the scourging post is to lay down your life, that you may receive the nature and character of His life and harvest. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. F980909, The God of Hope. Concerning ministry, son, the first lifeline you are to throw to the people is the lifeline of hope. For the enemy rages against all mankind to destroy all hope that there is help for them from their God. You are never wrong to give the people hope. Without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. The first order of ministry is to allow hope to be painted on the canvas of their heart, for without a vision, the people perish. Tell them that all hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He has provided access for them into the bounty of their Father. Tell them it is all free by grace based on His finished work. You must impart hope to their spirit before faith can ever be productive, says the Lord. This hope must come in such a measure that they can literally taste it and see it. It must be hope of a living kind and not a vague dream. I will teach you and I will instruct you how to help the people repaint hope on the canvas of their heart in such a manner that they will have a strong vision and a strong image that faith can give substance to. Again I say unto you, the first lifeline for those who are drowning in the sea of affliction is to cast them the lifeline of hope. Without hope they will not move toward their God. Without hope they have nothing to hang on to. Hopelessness is the goal of their enemy, who would destroy them spirit, soul, and body. You are never wrong to give the people hope, says the Spirit of grace. Does not the Word say that He is the God of hope? Truly He is. Introduce the people to the God of hope, that they despair not, nor languish in hopelessness. The first message that Jesus taught after overcoming the enemy in the wilderness was to announce that He had been anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. With those words, hope was immediately imparted to the spirit of every person in the sound of His voice, for they all knew that those words meant He was announcing and proclaiming the year of Jubilee. Instantly within them, hope was painted on the canvas of their heart, for they knew that the year of Jubilee meant all debts are canceled and every man is restored to his original inheritance. Hope was the first thing Jesus imparted with His words. The first lifeline He cast to the people was hope. With those words He was proclaiming, what has been is not what shall be. The acceptable year of the Lord has arrived. All debts are canceled. Man is restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. Every man is restored to his inheritance. Hope was instantly imparted to them, though many never acquired faith to appropriate the bounty that He had proclaimed. Faith in what? Faith in what? Many crisscross the land and teach with great swelling words the mechanics of faith. Even though these prescriptions for faith are accurate, yet when the people try to employ them, many fail. For the truth of the matter is this: They have no real hope on the inside of them. The image is not real in them. Hope is not real in them. They still think not that their lives can change. They have no vision of overcoming. They have no vision of being blessed. They still believe in their heart, because of lack of hope, that what has been is what shall be. Again I say, without hope there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Faith in what? Faith in what? Their faith must be in the hope given by the God of hope through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, hear my voice. To help the people, they must have hope. They must have a living hope, a lively hope, a hope that cannot be quenched, a hope that cannot be stolen. They must have the image on the inside that is more real than all the circumstances they face daily. You are the servant of the God of hope. As your teacher, I will instruct you in very precise detail how to paint the image of hope on the spirits of the people, so that beyond any shadow of doubt they understand that what has been is not what shall be. As your teacher, I am saying this in many different ways, in order that your mind comprehend the laws of the Spirit. Hope must be alive, son. Hope must be a living thing in them. The image of hope painted on the inside of them must be of greater substance to them, and reckoned to be more real than the circumstances in the natural that they must deal with on a daily basis. Many emphasize faith and the working of faith to try and impart faith unto those who have no hope. This is not the mind of the Father. This is not the plan of the Father. This will not work. He is the God of hope. They are saved by hope. First, son, first, learn from me how to impart hope to the people. Learn from me how to impart hope in such a manner that the canvas of their heart abounds in hope. This is the first order of ministry that releases the power of the Holy Ghost. If you can impart a lively hope unto their spirit, then they will instantly receive a measure of joy and peace in believing. With lively hope, a living hope, comes a measure of peace and joy. They must have that measure of peace to have calmness of spirit, and that they begin to hear the leadership of the Spirit as I bring instructions from the mind of Christ that will develop faith to appropriate this hope. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. I remind you again of the Father's plan for Abram. Which came first, hope or faith? First came the image of hope, as he led Abram out to see the stars. By that method, the Father painted hope on the canvas of Abram's heart. Abram now had a vision. First comes the vision. First comes the hope. Hope must be imparted first, son. A lively hope that is more real than the natural circumstances. Secondly, the instructions came by the Spirit to Abram, that he change his name to Abraham and Sarai's to Sarah. By following these instructions, faith then appropriated what was first obtained by hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They are not seen in the natural, but they are most certainly seen in hope. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. You have always given much more importance to the changing of the name of Abram than to the vision imparted to him by seeing the stars. Remain in this error no longer, says the Spirit of grace. Know and understand that the confession alone, without the vision of hope, would never have produced Isaac. On the other hand, the vision alone, without following the instructions of faith, would only have caused hope to be deferred indefinitely to make Abram's heart sick. Both are required, son. Hope, a living hope, must come to the people. The vision must be strong. The image must be alive. Hope, real hope, must be painted on the canvas of their heart. Then the instructions of grace to release faith, to appropriate that hope, must be obeyed. They must not be as the foolish man who rejects counsel and instruction from the mind of Christ. On the contrary, they must be as wise men who will receive and hearken to counsel and do those things by which God confounds the wisdom of this world. Never again discount nor place below faith the importance of hope. Again I say to you, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You are never wrong to give the people hope. You are never wrong to cast the lifeline of hope to those who are drowning in the sea of affliction. Understand this day and never forget the Spirit's definition of godly hope. Godly hope is when the people are moved to the point that they agree, what has been is not what shall be. Until they arrive at that place, they are not yet in hope, says the Spirit of grace. The foundation for all hope is grace. The foundation for grace is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as false hope when hope has been built upon His work. Until the people are moved into a state of real hope, living hope, a lively hope, they are not yet candidates for the working of faith. You will find that once you are fully into hope, where the vision is more real in you than what you have seen in the past, when that vision comes to maturity and hope is a living thing within you, you will find that faith will quickly appropriate the resources of the Father by the Spirit to manifest that hope in the earth. Again, I say to you, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For this reason I have instructed you from the mind of Christ that the next tree that must fall on the path to the working of the supernatural is lack of awareness of my presence. As your hope sees the image of the ministry the Father has called you to, and your consciousness is fully aware that your Father's Spirit is with you to accomplish His will, faith becomes a simple matter. Faith quickly appropriates that which has been first obtained by hope. Has not the Lamb spoken to you Himself and said, "My leadership is found in my peace"? Peace is mandatory for finding the leadership that comes by the Spirit from the throne of Christ. Without hope there is no calmness of spirit. Without hope there is no consolation. Where there is no consolation, the voice of the Comforter is not heard. With hope comes great calm, great consolation, great comfort that things truly will change. In that calmness and consolation and comfort, the voice of the Comforter can be heard, and instructions that proceed from the mind of Christ can be received and followed. Once the soul is moved to the peace of hope, instructions of faith to appropriate from that hope can be heard and obeyed. But many struggle with faith when there is no calmness provided by hope. In the people there is still great turmoil, great agitation, confusion, and every evil work, for they have not yet attained to the calmness of hope. Peace is not theirs. Comfort is not theirs. The voice of the Comforter is not heard. Son, you are never wrong to give the people hope. The first lifeline to be cast to the people is hope. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. F98-0911. Pray for leaders. Hear not my voice in small matters only, but hear my voice on matters even of a national scale, and yes, even on matters of a global scale. For I will bring you instructions from the mind of Christ, how to make intercession according to the will of the Father. Intercession for those that are in authority in nations, says the Spirit of the Lord. My people regard themselves so small in their own eyes that they understand not it is their prayers I use to manifest the will of the Father according to the mind of Christ, even on a global scale. They say, "Well, who am I? Who am I? I am nobody." Yet from the Lamb's perspective, these are the very ones whose prayers He uses to manifest the will of the Father even on a global scale. Expect my voice on these matters. Whatever I instruct you to pray, trust me that I am bringing you the mind of Christ. I will bring you names of leaders you have never heard of in the natural. At times you will wonder, "Well, who is that?" Yet I will bring that name to you, and I may or may not, according to the mind of Christ at the moment, lay out for you the situations involved. But I will bring you His mind on what to pray, and exactly what to say. If my people will hearken to my voice, and yield to me, and trust me to pray and make intercession according to the instruction I bring them, then the power of the Spirit will be loosed to manifest the will of the Father, even in kings and leaders you have never heard of around the world. By this method, your prayers can have global impact for the spread of the gospel. Your prayers can have global impact on the work of the kingdom in all nations, says the Lord. Even in the crisis in your own nation at this moment, most believers are not speaking nor praying in line with the mind of Christ for this situation. For they are gathering information from carnal sources and weighing it in the balance of their own natural mind and coming to conclusions void of my counsel. My counsel comes from the throne. The counsel you receive from me was not born on the earth, but was conceived in the heart of the Father, manifested to the mind of Christ, and revealed unto my people as they sit and hear my counsel. I bring the mind of Christ from the throne unto them. Would you cooperate with the enemy and bring destruction upon your nation by speaking great, swelling words of man's vanity, without first listening to the counsel I would bring you from the Lamb, in order that you may speak in agreement with His mind? Asks the Spirit of grace. In the Proverbs it is written that a foolish woman tears down her own house with her hands. Many are tearing down their own nation with their mouths, for they speak according to the mind of man, and not according to the mind of Christ. They have not sat in my presence and heard the counsel that I bring from the throne. Speak to the people even this night. Admonish them. Warn them that they speak not according to foolishness. These are important matters. This is a grave situation. The enemy is struggling to gain even a stronger foothold and to become even more entrenched than he already is in this nation. I counsel you and I admonish you to remember the wisdom spoken in the Word, which says, first of all, make supplication and prayers, intercession and giving of thanks for all men, for kings and all that be in authority. But make sure to make intercession for the leaders, according to the will of the Father, revealed by the mind of Christ, brought by the Spirit of the living God, unto those who will sit and wait upon me and hear my voice, says the Spirit of grace. It is imperative that my people make intercession, according to the mind of Christ, and not according to the wisdom of man. Weigh in the balance these two things. What would you have for your nation? The mind of Christ or the mind of man? Choose. Choose what you prefer. When my people join in with foolish jesting concerning this situation regarding your president as it now exists in this land, unknowingly they are joining the words of their mouth with him who would destroy this nation. They place the Spirit in a position of having to lift the hand of my anointing from the words of their mouth, for they know not. They know not that as the degree of my anointing lifts from the words of their mouth, that the authority of their words is rendered less powerful in every realm of life. Without my anointing, your words have no power. Without my anointing, your words carry no authority. They do not desire this. They understand not that to join in foolish jesting, speaking words in agreement with the enemy of this nation, by degrees lowers the power and authority I desire to manifest in their words. Admonish them to cease from this foolishness immediately. Now I bring instruction from the mind of Christ on how to make intercession for your president. Intercede for your president as if he were your own son born of your own loins. If he were your son born of your loins, sitting in the office of president, even though you did not agree with many of his policies, how would you make intercession for him? That is how you should make intercession for your president. Again, I say, for clarity's sake, make intercession for your president as though he were your own son, born of your own body, who was sitting in that office. As you would make intercession for your son, make intercession for your president and his family. Make intercession for his bride as though she were your daughter-in-law. Make intercession for their child as though she were your granddaughter. This is the wisdom proceeding from the mind of Christ who sits on the throne. Make intercession for your president as though he were your own son, born of your own body, bone of your bone, blood of your blood, flesh of your flesh. Make intercession in that vein, and you will be making intercession according to the mind of Christ, says the Spirit of Grace. F98-09-15. None diminished. Now do you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of Him who is to fill your hope? Allow no image provided by religion. Permit no image diminished by the reasonings of man. Receive the image I have provided, for it is into that likeness that my Spirit shall conform you. None diminished. None diminished is the word that I am imparting to your spirit this day, says the Lord. None diminished is my plan. None diminished is my will. None diminished from the image I provided. That is the plan of the Father. As you behold the glory of Him whom I have sent, as you behold that image I have provided to fill your hope, you are changed into that same image, that same hope, that same likeness, by the seed of Him who was planted within you. None diminished. I say again, none diminished. This is my plan. This is my purpose. Receive not the counsel, nor the religion, nor the vain speaking of men who would oppose my will. I counsel you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. Truly I have spoken unto you. These things only come by the same. But where there is no vision, my people shall surely perish. The saying apart from the vision is as futile as the vision apart from the saying. Both are required, says the Lord. I counsel you to step higher than religion. I counsel you to step higher than the ways of man. I counsel you to step above the darkened reasonings of those who speak as leaders of my people. I counsel you to receive the simple truth that I have sent in Jesus Christ. He is the image provided for all men to be conformed to. I intend for them to be conformed to that image, none diminished, none diminished, none diminished, says the Spirit of your Father. His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life in its fullness is your inheritance. Receive the abundance of this grace. Receive it as your own. Possess it as your land to be inherited. Receive the abundance of this grace which I have provided for my children. Receive the abundance of His righteousness, for it is truly yours. All that I have given Him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you as being your inheritance to possess. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face, and you shall inherit the very life of Christ in fullness, says the Lord. This is my plan. For this purpose I provided the image that you are to be changed into. For this purpose I sent Him, who is the express image of myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own. For it is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, it shall be yours. For I have already given you this land. The work has already been accomplished in Him. The only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith. But as I am teaching you this day, first you must fill your hope with the image of Him whom I have provided. Fill your hope with that image. Think it not impossible. Think no longer these things are impossible. Think no longer this is not my plan, for it is my plan. It is my plan to repopulate the earth with sons who walk as Him, talk as Him, act as Him, and who have the same results He had. This is my will, says the Spirit of your Father. You will learn, as did those of old, that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. It is by my Spirit that the transformation is accomplished. For man's efforts are vain and futile to bring forth the life of Christ. The instructions I give are easy for man to do. First, son, fill your hope with the image of Him whom I have provided. Your hope must become possessive hope, hope that possesses as its own the life of Christ in its fullness. See that life in fullness in you. See it, son. This is my plan. It is my gift unto you. It is my gift to my children. His life imparted free by grace to you. I say again, have possessive hope. Hope that sees His life as your own. For without Him you can do nothing. His life has been given freely by my grace. I have imparted that same life unto you. See it as your own. Every attribute of His, see it as your own. See yourself as beholding Him in a mirror of your own life. As you behold Him as in a mirror, the mystery of Christ in you is brought forward by the power of my Spirit and not your labor. Your labor is to see Him, to behold Him, to possess Him in your hope, to hold that image and not be swayed by religion, nor the doctrines of men who claim these things are not my mind. See Him, behold Him, possess Him, know Him, love Him, receive Him. He is your life. His life is your inheritance, in all of its fullness, says the Spirit of your Father. Then partake by saying, be as Abraham of old, who spoke what I said concerning himself, and would not speak contrary to it. As you speak forth the words of faith, as He is, so am I, in this world, coupling your words with godly hope which possesses the image. The transformation and the change into that image is wrought by my Spirit and not by the work of man. Enough, 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 says the Lord. Enough of religion. Enough. It has been enough. It is past time to cast off the doctrines of men who would speak in the place of God. This very day my Spirit is circumcising from your heart the doctrine of men whose counsel has been darkened to say that the life of my Son is an image to be worshipped afar off and not to be appropriated by every believer who calls upon His name. They do not find such counsel in my word. They have chosen according to man's ways and man's reasonings. They have chosen the path of religion, which I cannot anoint with life. They have chosen that path, which will never lead to dominion. They have chosen the path of religion instead of life. Hear them no more, hearken to them no more, for their words are not the mind of the Father. As I have spoken unto you, wisdom is the image of Christ, woven upon the tapestry of your spirit. The speaking of my word weaves that image upon your spirit. But by that method alone, the process of transformation is slow. I am instructing you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. As you incorporate hope of the image with the speaking of my word, the image of Him whom I have provided is woven upon the tapestry of your spirit much more rapidly. You cannot possess a land that you cannot see. Neither can you possess a land that you see afar off, if you deem it is not part of your inheritance. Understand this day and never forget, says the Lord, that His life is your inheritance. I desire that you possess that life to the full. Behold the land of His life that I have spread before you, says the Lord. Behold it with possessive hope that understands His life is your inheritance. Possess the land by faith as you go forth seeing and beholding His life, saying, as He is, so am I, in this world. Incorporate hope with all your saying, says the Spirit of grace, and I will weave the image of Him whom the Father has provided upon the tapestry of your heart. In such rapid measure it shall astound you. This is the Father's plan. For this purpose I have been sent. Few have known His mind. Few have understood His purpose in reseeding the earth with life. The Father is restoring all things according to His original intent and purpose. His intent and purpose is that all who name the name of Christ should walk as He walked, possessing in fullness His life which is their inheritance. Why would you fill your hope with images provided by man, when I have provided for you the image of life itself? He who is life has come in the flesh that you may behold that life, that you may receive that life into yourself, and appropriate it as a land to be possessed. For I have surely given it unto you, says your Father. Have not I said that thou shalt have no graven images before thee? A graven image is that which has the mark of man upon it. I have provided the image which has the mark of God upon it. Behold the image of life, who is Christ come in the flesh. Behold him. Behold the image I have provided, says the Lord, and fill your hope with that image. Fill your mouth with my word that says his life is yours, and you shall surely possess the height and depth, the length and breadth of his life. For I have given you to have life in yourself, as I gave to him to have life in himself. Possess the life of Christ, for his life is your promised land to be inherited. His life is your land of inheritance to be possessed. My children have become so accustomed to affliction, to mourning, and to hopelessness, that on those occasions when they have received the smallest measures of joy and peace from my spirit, they have tended to camp there and set up monument stones by writing books giving testimony, as though they had received the fullness of my measure of grace to them. How sad, how sad, how my heart grieves over the smallness of the heart of their father in their sight. I intend for my children to possess continents of joy and oceans of peace. Did not my son say that his joy was to be in you? Did not my son say that his peace was to be your peace? The land of inheritance is vast, enormous, beyond the capacity of the carnal mind to comprehend. But I have set this life to be inherited before you in the image of my son, that you may behold his glory, and with possessive hope and words of faith, possess the land, as my spirit drives out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You shall possess this land, says the Lord, in a more rapid manner, as you learn to incorporate hope with all your speaking. I give you counsel and instruction this day, says the Spirit of grace. Slow down. During your times of possession, as you confess the word, incorporate hope with all your speaking. I myself, by the power resident within myself, will move to restore the will of the Father in every realm of your life. The life in the image of him whom God has sent is yours for the possessing. It is the gift of grace. His life is the gift of grace unto you, says the Father. Receive the abundance of this grace and the gift of righteousness, and you shall reign in life by him. The very life of my son is my gift of grace unto you. His life is yours, his anointing is yours, his joy is yours, his peace is yours. It is a vast land of promise to be enjoyed by those who will take up the sword of the Spirit and go forth in the name of Jesus to possess all that life which is your inheritance. Did I not say to Abram, lift up thine eyes, that he might see all the land that was spread before him? Did I not say, all that you can see, I shall give unto thee and thy seed? I did not say, behold this land which thou shalt not receive as an inheritance. No, I said, this land is your inheritance. So I say to you this day, and so I say to all my children, I have spread before you the life of my Son, Jesus Christ, as a land to be possessed by inheritance. I have given this life unto you. It is not a life to be worshipped from afar, without hope that it may be possessed. No, I have sent the image of life on purpose, that you may behold that image and understand that this life is your land to be inherited. All that you can see, I will give unto you as your faith possesses it. You cannot possess that which you cannot see, says the Lord. See, behold him. Behold the glory of that life. See it as in a mirror. Possess that life as your own. By my Spirit I will give it unto you in fullness, says the Lord your God. Remember the word I spoke to you saying, 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. That ratio is correct. Those numbers are accurate. I gave them not by chance unto you, says the Spirit of grace. That is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all your speaking. I am able to do a quick work in those whose hope stands as an image in full measure for faith to give substance to. Learn to incorporate hope, godly hope, with all your speaking. Forget not the course that He has set for you, my son. Incorporate hope with your speaking regarding the gifts of the Spirit. You shall arrive at that clearing more rapidly than you ever thought. Let hope and faith join together, that I may manifest the life of Christ in you. From glory to glory you shall be changed into that same image. Incorporate hope with all your saying, says the Spirit of grace.